It is really a joy to be able to hear the faith stories of men and women, boys and girls, younger and older, as a church family. I realize that some people, it makes them nervous, it's challenging, but you know what? There's probably no better time than to do it now, because there's just a handful of us in this room, and you're with friends, and so it's a wonderful thing. So if you want to get baptized, if you want to, you know, become a member, call me, do it now. It's a great, great time. No, we really, really are thankful for you sharing your faith stories with us. Let me just take a moment. We're gonna turn to God's Word, and we're going to be looking at this big idea of peace, which is a really, really big theme in the Scriptures. Before we turn there, I just want to take a moment to highlight a couple of things that might be helpful for us as a church family, as we think about some of the realities of our own church family, things that are taking place. For the last couple of weeks, you've been hearing about our support of the food bank as we try to help them in this time of need, and with grocery prices being what they are, with many people in our own city challenged with food security, we challenged our church family to commit $10,000, and then that would be matched by the food bank. It would be doubled, and then it would be doubled again to become actually $40,000. And I stand here before you saying thank you to our church family, because we met and we exceeded that goal. And so we are so thankful for the generosity and the support that you have shown. May that continue as the needs continue to arise, because there's other needs in our city as well. So thank you for that. Another thing that we want to share with you, if you're a recipient of our weekly Westwood Church family emails, we send out weekly emails for myself on Friday, and this last week we really had some tough news with one of our elder members, Johannes Gita, who is well known in our community as a medical doctor and psychiatrist, and one of our elders here helping to lead our church family. And he suffered a very severe stroke and is in hospital and in Vancouver being cared for there. And so I want to thank you for your ongoing prayer for him, for Naomi, in this very, very challenging situation. And so we continue to trust the Lord with that, and ask that you would pray for them and ask for wisdom for that. And then also, if you could remember to pray for our Board of Elders as we meet tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. We have sort of business to do, like we regularly do, in trying to give leadership to this church family. One particular, piece that we really have to discern well is what do we do around decision making and in-person worship services with the unique challenges and restrictions that churches have in the north as compared to other health regions in the province. And it is challenging. I don't think I have to say any more than that, but you can look at it from a gazillion different directions, and it just plain is really, really tough. And so we would ask for wisdom as we try to discern, we try to do the right thing in a very, very challenging situation. And so maybe even just right now we could take a moment and pray for that if you're on your couch. Just take 30 seconds with me and let's lift these things up to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do ask for the peace that passes all understanding to be ours. Even right now, with the different situations we find ourselves in, for each one who carries different burdens and weights, we ask that you would be there for them, and we thank you that your promise is sure. Lord, we pray for the Gitas and for the very, very challenging situation there. And we ask that your peace would surround them and carry them. And we pray for elders that you would give incredible, incredible grace and insight, supernatural wisdom to know how to lead in this very, very difficult situation we find ourselves in. And in all these things, Lord, we trust you. And we don't lean on our own understanding. We look to you. And so we thank you that you will guide us as we come to you. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, peace. What a relevant topic for today. The words that the angels sang to the shepherds announcing this great news that Jesus, a Savior, had been born. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 2, verse 14 is kind of the heading verse, the key verse in this whole thing. The angels given this message from the Lord to give to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. You know, for many, those words are written on a Christmas card, but I don't think they really mean too much. And yet there's this profound truth that the angels say. They're announcing to the world that with the birth of the baby Jesus is going to come this peace that is going to envelop the planet. A peace that is going to shatter and overcome the most challenging of circumstances and situations. A peace that could break down the greatest and highest walls of hostility and bitterness. A peace that would encompass every single part of one's life. Like when you think about your life, when you think about the world in which we live, like who doesn't want that? So many people are looking for a semblance of peace or stability or some kind of saneness in their lives, and they're not finding it. And it's not that they're not looking, they are. And they're looking for it in certain philosophies of life or ways of doing life or certain religions. They're looking for it in friendships and in associations. They're looking for it in pills and programs, and yet it eludes them. And they wonder, how in the world can I experience a life that is characterized by peace? A life that, as Michael kind of alluded to, was shifted. It came to him that day when he made a decision to kind of turn his life, to do something with his life, to surrender his life. You know, as I meet with people and I hear different stories, 2021 has been a challenging year. We thought 2020 was tough, and it was. I think for many people, maybe most, 2021 has actually been more challenging. The levels of worry and the levels of stress, the isolation and the frustration that comes with isolation, anxiety, financial uncertainty, divisiveness, specifically within the life of the church, the polarity, that has increased for so many people. At church here, we receive on a weekly basis many calls, many email requests asking for prayer, asking for counseling. We refer a lot to counseling because many are, their lives are filled with this unrest and tension. Even today, I come to today with conflicted feelings. On the one hand, I consider the situation of our brother Johannes and his dire situation, and in the midst of that situation, I actually have a sense of great peace. Now, I can't explain it fully. Maybe it's because a lot of people are praying, which they are. Maybe it's because I know that Johannes' foundation is centered on Jesus, and it's secure no matter what happens, and that gives me great hope and peace. So there's that on the one hand. On the other hand, I come in today, and I think about the situation around separating vaccinated from unvaccinated and only allowing vaccinated people to a worship service only here in the north, I might add, and it is so unsettling. It's so unsettling. All while I watch people lose their spiritual moorings, as I watch the mental health challenges rising, as I see the drug overdose deaths climbing higher every month in our province for the last year and a half, seeing families fractured. You see, it seems that in many ways, the message of peace is lost. It's buried in a world that has lost its moorings. It's not even understood. Like, man, we're desperate for God's help. So I want to be very clear and very practical with what the Bible says, because this message that the angels sang is all-encompassing. It is super relevant. It's for you. It's for me. It's for everyone who desires it. Did you know that the Bible has nearly 800 references to this all-encompassing peace? And you can thank your lucky stars this morning that I'm not going to cover them all, but let me summarize what the Bible says about this thing called peace that we've been already singing about and talking about and reading from the scriptures about. And I'm gonna kind of name them under three sort of main sort of categories, and then we're gonna apply this. And I want you to be thinking as we go through, where do I sit in this? Like, where are the connection points with what God's word has to say in my life? The first sort of big header that the scriptures speak about when we talk about this all-encompassing peace that the angels sang about to the shepherds from the heavens is peace with God. As we talk about experiencing peace, it starts right here. You cannot know the peace that we all long for in our relationships with one another, with the societal problems we see around us, with worry and stress, with the anxiety that far too many people are experiencing, with what happens when we die. We cannot know the peace in all these things apart from having a relationship with God, because ultimately, this gospel of peace that the angels are singing about originates with God. It's His doing. You see, the angels, they're proclaiming a message from God who sent them to share it with the world. Over the course of this past fall, we've been looking at Jesus, very specifically in the Gospels, and we've been looking at Him as our top model, and I really hope that you are getting it, that you are getting this truth that disciples of Jesus do life differently. They believe, they think, and they live differently as they follow the example of Jesus. And at the very heart of understanding this message of peace in a world of conflict and stress and anxiety is what Jesus did on the cross. You actually have to start here. So Jesus, why did He come into our world? Well, He came into our world because we had a sin problem. That's the very beginning of the Christmas story. The Bible tells us that He came to give us salvation. So God sent Jesus, His Son, into our world to ultimately die for your sin and for mine. But in doing so, in His death, the barrier between us and God was broken. So the walls that existed between God and humanity, they came down, opposing cultures, societal factions, racial inequality, male and female, relational strife, all those things that contribute to a life that is void, empty of peace, of a relationship with God. Those walls came down. And the Bible says it this way in Ephesians chapter 2. For He Himself, that is Jesus, is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. In another verse, the Bible says it this way: since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Maybe you know that many world religions, many other faith kind of beliefs or systems have as a part of their tradition or their faith system a form of a peace offering. And they offer that to their God, hoping that the offering will be accepted and that they can live in some kind of state of harmony, some kind of sense of peace with that God. Now, in Christianity, the peace offering was and is Jesus, who did everything on our behalf. You see, having peace with God only happens because of what Jesus has done by dying on the cross. When the Magi, these men from the far east, from the Orient, traveled a very, very long distance to give gifts to this child that was born, and they saw something in the heavens, and they knew that they needed to go and see what it was. They actually came, if you know the story, they came bearing gifts, and the gifts were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And myrrh, we know, was a preservative applied on the body of the one who had died. So unbeknownst to the Magi, but fully known to God, this gift would be an indicator that this child, the one that they had come from a long ways away to see and to worship, this child brought to bring peace into the world would ultimately die. The child would be the peace offering once and for all. So if you're wondering where a life characterized by peace begins, where it's anchored, where it's moored and rooted, it's right here. It begins here. Having peace with God is the foundation for everything else. And you heard just a snapshot, even in the testimonies of Michael and Emily. Now, that doesn't mean just because your life is anchored on Jesus, who has broken down the walls between you and God, and now you can have a relationship with God, just because you have that relationship doesn't mean your life is problem-free. Doesn't mean it's going to be stress-free. No, not at all. Like, let's just kind of wipe that away. It probably won't be. But having peace with God, knowing that this wall done, you know, for all time, for you and for me, is gone, being made right with God, knowing that that has happened enables you to have the peace of God in all situations, no matter what comes. And in the Bible, this is kind of the second sort of big header that so many of these references in Scripture about peace find themselves under: the peace of God. This is a kind of peace that's often described in the Bible as shalom. Now, shalom is not a cool way of saying hello to another person, although some people use it that way. Shalom, actually, from the Scriptures, is what God wants for us. It's His desire for us. And in the Scriptures, it is an ideal way of living, where things do go well with us from head to toe in all aspects of life. That's actually God's desire. Maybe you didn't know that, but that's God's desire to have this shalom characterized in our life, in our lives, in our relationships, at work, at home, with finances and economics. The peace, the shalom of God. This past week, I reconnected with a friend. I hadn't actually chatted with this fellow in a couple of years. He used to be in my youth group when I was a youth pastor many years ago. And after high school graduation, Daryl went to Bible college, and his one-year Bible college experience turned into four, and he felt God calling him to prepare for ministry. And so he did. He was preparing, and then God actually called him to serve as the director of a Bible camp in northern Manitoba, and he has been there in northern Manitoba, far from his hometown in Kelowna, and he served there for 23 years. His ministry has been fruitful. He is deeply loved in that rural, sort of bush-oriented community. A lot of First Nations kids and families. But his shalom, this peace of God that was shouted by the angels from the heavens to the shepherds, it has been deeply tested. His wife left him for another guy a few years ago, leaving him with the two kids, and that's been a really, really long, hard journey. He's not been able to run summer camps for 2 years because of COVID, which, of course, is super discouraging, especially when you serve a northern remote community where camp ministry is the spiritual thread in many respects that keeps people anchored, that keeps them moored to solid truths. And at the beginning of this last year of 2021, his oldest child was diagnosed with a rare aggressive brain cancer, and the chemo and the meds that have followed and continued have left him in a very, very challenging and precarious state. My friend, he pleads for his son's life, wondering why in the world are the drug dealers down his street healthy and wealthy? That's what it seems to be, living the good life, shalom. While his 16-year-old son may not see his 17th birthday, and his daughter is mad at God and mad at the world. See, I cannot even begin to imagine the pain he's experiencing as he tries to put one foot in front of the other every single day. As I shared in my church family email update regarding Johannes' situation yesterday, for Johannes, this past year has tested his shalom in profound ways, where things have not been well, even as he has stayed faithful to Jesus, knowing that he has peace with God. And for many living with deep hurt and pain, left on their own, left to their own devices, they will try all kinds of things to rid themselves of the challenge or to bring a sense of order, to bring a sense of peace. They might describe it shalom, but of course it's not, or maybe it's just to numb the pain. And so maybe for some it's picking up a bottle or a pill. Maybe it's smoking a little weed. Maybe it's walking away from the relationship. But you know what? That's not shalom. That's escape. That's escape. And Jesus told his disciples at a time that was going to test their shalom in big ways. Like they were just about to kind of enter into that whole, you know, days and weeks before Jesus was arrested and ultimately crucified. It was going to test their way of life, their shalom in big time. And Jesus comes alongside them and says that he's going to give them a peace that is different than what the world offers. And we read that even in our Advent reading, John 14. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." You see, Jesus wants to give us the peace of God. He wants us to experience shalom. But that shalom is often challenged because people are human and people make mistakes. Sin continues and it impacts our world. Bad stuff still happens. But that doesn't stop Jesus from granting us his peace which holds and carries us as we journey through life's difficulties. The Bible actually later says in Colossians chapter 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. How in the world do you do that? Like, let me link the peace with God to the peace of God, because they are directly linked. As we understand what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So he's died for us on the cross. He's broken down that wall of hostility between God and us. And we accept that. We understand what Jesus did and we receive it personally. That peace can rule or overshadow every part of our lives as we allow it. As we choose to give control to God because of what Jesus has done for us. Even while life can be hard and our shalom will be tested, like my friend Daryl in northern Manitoba, like it's been for Johannes this past year, now even more so for Naomi, we can experience the peace that Jesus promises to us because we have peace with God. It's a direct link. You cannot have the peace of God without having peace with God. It simply doesn't happen. So those are the first two sort of big areas that the Bible talks about. But then there's a third one, which is very, very personal and close to home, and that's peace with others. In Christmas time, you might sing the song, you might hear the song, O Holy Night. Have you ever thought about the lyrics of one of those verses? Truly he taught us, who's the he? Well, Jesus. Truly Jesus taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. And the gospel of peace that the angels shouted from the heavens is all about Jesus doing the work of reconciling people to God, which gives us the peace with God. And then when we have peace with God, we can experience the peace of God. And those two things are only, they're linked directly. But then we're actually called to live that out with everybody else around us, just like Jesus taught us. And so again, in the Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they have the peace with God that we've been talking about. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins as against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, we're messengers, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You see that? Because of Jesus, we can be reconciled to God. We can be made right and we have peace with God. But if we're made right with Jesus, we're supposed to do something with it. We're supposed to be ambassadors. We're supposed to be messengers of reconciliation. The purpose of this is so that we can actually live it out for the rest of the world. And boy, do we need this right now. We need it in our families. We need it in our neighborhoods. We need it in our church. We need it in our city. And Jesus is our model. We look to him to show us how it's done. Jesus, he taught his disciples to forgive those who had sinned against them, and then he showed us how it was to be done. When people treated other people badly, or they were of another skin color, or they spoke a different language, or they came from a different socioeconomic background, Jesus would share stories with his disciples, showing them what it looked like to be an ambassador, a messenger, a reconciler, one who lived out the gospel of peace. About making things right, about taking down walls and not putting them up, about moving towards another person rather than running away. Well,
in these last moments, you know, I've just kind of shared what the Bible talks about when we talk about this gospel of peace that the angels shouted from the heavens, and they can be found under these three sort of big categories, and they're all very, very linked. But how does one actually get to the point of experiencing this overwhelming, all-encompassing peace that God wants for you and for me? How is it done? How do you do it? Well, I think it begins with a moment of clarity. I think it begins with a moment of clarity where we get it, where the light goes on. And for Michael, who shared his testimony earlier, he got it that one day when he was painting Trim with his mom. When the Christmas story begins in the Bible, Joseph was very, very upset, discouraged. Probably, you know, we might say he was a basket case. He was wondering, what in the world, where's my life going? He's discouraged. He's restless. He's thinking his fiance has cheated on him. He plans on walking away quietly, until he hears from God in a dream and he gets it. He gets it. God gets his attention and Joseph chooses to listen to him. Mary, she was in a similar state until she was confronted by an angel who told her not to worry because that which was happening to her was part of God's plan. Well, if Mary had a difficult time believing that, I think you and I can understand that. And yet at some point, Mary gave God the benefit of the doubt. The Magi, the folks who traveled from the Far East, they got it when they saw the star and they just knew something was up and they needed to see this child and worship. The shepherds, Elizabeth, Zechariah, all of them, they're living in this state of confusion, of uncertainty, of relational tension, of anxiety and struggle until they have this moment of clarity where God stepped in and they saw for the very first time what God saw and they surrendered to Him. They probably didn't understand it fully. They may have had lots of questions, but they surrendered to God. If you're living a life filled with restlessness, filled with anxiety, filled with uncertainty about what in the world you're doing in life and what it's all about, peace does not describe your life. You've got estrangement in your relationships with others, with God. Nothing is going to change until you see what God sees. Until the eyes of your heart are opened to what needs to change. And when you have that moment of clarity, when God speaks to you through His Word, as you allow Him to speak to you through His Word, the Bible, maybe it's through another person, maybe it's through an experience that you encounter, maybe it's by His Holy Spirit who counsels, who convicts, who comforts. How are you going to respond? When you have that moment of clarity, how are you going to respond? Because I think we have a choice. And in all the Bible characters in the Christmas story, we see something very, very significant, this attitude of humble obedience. And I think if you get that moment of clarity and God shows you, you are going to have to take that next step and say, I need to look at my attitude and go, what is my attitude? Because whatever it is up until now ain't working. Doing life on my own, figuring things out, trying to do it by myself, it just ain't working. And it requires an attitude of humility and obedience. Joseph's initial response, total disbelief, confusion, probably anger, and a clear desire to move on, and yet he chooses humility and obedience. The same with Mary, the same with Zechariah and Elizabeth and the shepherds. Their decision to humbly obey didn't make their life easier, but as they humbled themselves under God's leadership, they allowed Christ to rule in their lives, and they obeyed what he asked, they knew they weren't alone. They knew they weren't alone, and that's one of the lies that we often face. We believe that we're actually alone in our challenges. We believe that we're alone in our stress, our confusion, our fears, our worries, that nobody else knows, but nobody else cares. But that's a lie. The Bible says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I love that. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. The person who is living a life that is just broken and shattered and filled with chaos and distress, the Lord is close to you. The Lord saves those who are just crushed, who are just buried under the stuff that life has brought them. God knows. God cares. He is with us in all of this mess. All the characters in the Bible story, the Christmas story, they experienced that God was with them very personally, and God is going to be with you. Whatever situation you find yourself in right now, God can be with you. Will you allow him as you humbly obey what he asks of you? Will you invite him and Jesus alone to help you? Jesus, he taught his disciples something amazing that I think we need to hear like today, right now. All the challenging realities around us, the different issues that face us. Jesus says to his disciples, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He doesn't say that he's going to give you more worry and more frustration, anxiety. No, he says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle, I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What an amazing promise that Jesus gives to you. And maybe that is a word that you need to hear specifically today. Are you living a frazzled, overfilled life, disconnected with God and disconnected from others? A life displaying anything but this life that Jesus has for us, where we can experience peace with God, and because we have peace with God, we have the peace of God, regardless of whatever comes our way. And then we can also be living in right relationships with other people. Are you caught, maybe even today, in this bizarre world, delineating between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, ready to lose it? And you're looking for help, and where are you getting that help from? Will you invite Jesus in to help you? Westwood staff and Westwood elders, are you feeling the tension of trying to do the right thing, yet wondering what the right thing is? Are we inviting Jesus in to help us? Are you carrying a heavy load because the life that God desires, shalom, is not your experience? Pain, suffering, challenge is more of what you know. If any of this describes you, the good news of this message of peace today is that no one else or nothing else but Jesus and Jesus alone can give you the rest, can give you the peace that he offers, which I've been speaking about all morning. He invites you to come to him, a person. And he says he's going to partner with us. He's going to carry the burdens and the weights, the stuff that challenges us. That's what a yoke is. It's something that joins two cattle together. And Jesus is talking about two people or more. And he's going to join us in the journey. Like, who doesn't want someone else who can actually carry the load for them? And the promise and the beauty of this message of peace is that it's found in a person, and we can come to him and experience it. See, this message of peace, it's so big, it's so encompassing that it seems too good to be true, and yet it is true. And it can be yours. It can be yours. What did Luke 2:14 say? The words of the angels? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, to whom God's favor rests. Who are those people? Who are those people on whom God's favor rests? It's all those who realize that they cannot do this life alone. They get it. They've had a moment of clarity, and they look to Jesus, a person, and they discover peace with God, who then gives them the peace of God so that they can live it out and be a messenger, an ambassador to the world around us. I want to invite us to pray today, and if that's your desire, if your heart's desire is to experience this life, maybe for the first time, would you simply pray along with me, and I would invite you to come to Jesus, the person. Oh Lord, we thank you so much that as we look to your word, you show us what it means to be a person, to be a family, to be a community, a city, a world that actually can live out this incredible truth of peace. Lord, we thank you that as we come to you, we can experience it personally. And amidst all the chaos, amidst all the challenge, the suffering, the relational tension, the anxiety that so many are experiencing, Lord, today I invite you to speak personally and tangibly to each one who is saying, I can't do it on my own, don't want to do it on my own, I need you. Lord, would you meet them where they're at? And if that is you, I would invite you to pray something like this. It's not a magical formula or anything. It's a heart's cry. It's a willingness to surrender your life to Jesus. Lord, I thank you for what you have done for me on the cross. I thank you that you have broken the walls down between me and you, and I receive that gift that you have given to me, and I desire it for myself. I desire to experience the peace that you offer in spite of my specific challenges and situations. Thank you that you are with me and that you promise to be with me for the rest of my life. And when this life comes to an end, Lord, I thank you that you will be with me as you lead me to an eternal life. Lord, help me to be a messenger and an ambassador of this amazing peace that you offer to us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that for everyone who needed to hear this word today, that you would encourage and pour out your blessing on them. Would you show them even today, tangibly, very, very personally, what it was that you wanted to speak to them about and how they're supposed to live it out. And so, Lord, in all things, as we go from here, we commit our day, we commit our week to you, inviting you to lead us, to carry the yoke that we so often take for ourselves. And we thank you for meeting with us this morning. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Well, as you go from here this morning, we trust that God has blessed you and ministered to you. We look forward to seeing you soon. And again, I simply invite you to pray for our elders as we seek to know God's will for our church family in this city, in this season, through Advent. We thank you and God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Hello, everyone. I am so excited to tell you about a great opportunity we have this Christmas season to partner with the Salvation Army Food Bank. The Salvation Army Food Bank this year is experiencing greater demand than they have in a long time. And with that great demand, they also do not have the resources they need to meet that demand. And so here's where we have an opportunity to come alongside and bless them. One thing that we are going to do here at Westwood Church is we are going to do a financial drive, and we are encouraging you to give a donation to Westwood Church, but designate it food bank. And when you do that, and your gift is added up together with others, you'll see that we can make a significant difference. But there's even better news than that, because the elders have designated $10,000 to go towards a matching program. So that means that up to the first $10,000 that's donated to Westwood Church for the food bank, we can match dollar for dollar, which means that your one can become two. But there's even better news than that. Through different matching programs the Salvation Army has, they can actually take the two and make it four. And so, what an incredible opportunity this is. Instead of just being able to give, say, one soup can, your one soup can becomes four through giving it financially. And so I just want to encourage you this Christmas season, would you give a gift to Westwood Church and designate it to the food bank so that we can make it really stretch and make a huge impact in our community for those who are experiencing food security issues. And so you can do that by going online, you can do that through e-transfer, you can do that by stopping by the office and dropping off cash or a check, but whatever you do, just make sure that you mark it food bank. And let's all generously give and work together to really make a significant difference this year for the Salvation Army Food Bank. Have a Merry Christmas. God bless you.